Right, hello, and welcome to a little bit of a late night edition of Soccer to the Max, as there is a lot to talk about in this show. Of course, I'm so glad I'm not here doing this by myself. I am your host, Sean Carmen, here with me, as always, Mr. Eric Watkins.
Another quiet weekend in the world of soccer.
Yeah.
Run of the mill, no big news or anything.
Yeah, no big news or nothing. Just nothing is going on that we're going to see. And it totally affects us if you listen to us at all. So yes, we will get into, the Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is out finally with Manchester United, but we'll get to that. So I feel like it's, disingenuous for us kind of started making it a point to at least cover the interview cell a little bit. They just had their championship on Saturday afternoon, and I think we should definitely, being a championship, we should give them their due to begin with here. So we will talk about Major League Soccer as well. They had their playoffs, but they're not done with this round yet. They have two games on Tuesday, especially, oh my God, I don't know why they love to do this. On Tuesday night of all, they couldn't do it over the weekend, the Seattle game, you know, so people don't have to stay up till freaking 1 in the morning on the East Coast waiting for that game to end. But no, of course, they have to do it that way. So we'll be late night again on Tuesday talking about Major League Soccer's playoffs. Yeah,
I can tell you with Seattle, blame the Seahawks.
Probably. And then also, I was like, why are we doing a game on Thanksgiving? Like, do you need to compete with the NFL? I don't know.
Did I not mention that? I said it was a bad idea.
Yeah. I think I read something to you about how they thought it was like, well, we might as well start a tradition or whatever. It's like, no, you don't need to do that. But whatever, Major League Soccer. No need for that.
Thanks a lot, Don. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Don. Anyway, let's get into it here. NFL Championship goes to the team of destiny. The self-proclaimed team of destiny, should add. Didn't necessarily feel that way in the first 45 minutes, but the Washington Spirit, after going through a little bit of extra time, pull it out with a 2-1 win. And boy, Eric, I mean, like I said, that first half, you didn't really think it was going to be their day. You saw that Chicago Red Stars, even though they had two injuries basically before that half ended, they did get a goal at the end of that half, basically an injury time. Mallory Pugh gets hurt, and then they have to add on an extra couple of minutes, and that's when you get the goal with a cross over to Rachel Hill, who basically is at the end of the post on the other end. McGrady tries to kind of box her out, but she can't. She gets a header to it, and Chicago Red Stars go to the half up 1-0. This is pretty, I thought, even game. I'd say give it to the Red Stars a little bit more in that first half, definitely. They had a few more of the chances. It didn't feel like Washington had been able to kind of get in the game yet.
Because, I mean, if you looked at the first half, you can't quite say gas, but you could tell, even specifically with the playoffs, having already gone all the way out west and playing extra time like before, you could tell they were a little bit worn down that first 45 minutes, but they had enough to hold on. But as the second half crept on, they started a little bit more flow, you say, getting more of the chances. And it's thought, the longer this goes, the more you're like, okay, this is more in the Spirit's element. They can easily go ahead, find that goal to win the match. It took all the way to extra time, but everything's just building towards that. And you're like, okay, that's finally, they have their opportunity now.
But it really wasn't until about the 60th minute. You still kind of had a little bit of, I will say the second half was a lot more Washington Spirit. They were coming back, trying to get that equalizer goal. They were doing what they could, but it wasn't, I think, until around the 61st minute, Trinity Rodman just lets out a blast that hits the crossbar. And I think you could kind of feel momentum change a little bit there. And it just,
that was definitely their wake up call.
Oh yeah, for sure. This started becoming this onslaught, wave after wave after wave of Trinity Rodman was leading a lot of things. She just kind of said, all right, guys, I'm going to pull y'all through at 19 years old. just absolutely becoming a star here. I think she had a breakout performance because she's the one that leads the pass in to McEwen that leads to the penalty. Andy Sullivan steps up, and unfortunately for the Red Stars keeper, a few seconds too late, it goes right through her hands as she's going down, and that was enough to put Washington level, and then kind of keeps going the same way. Washington still having a bit more possession at that point. Trinity Rodman kind of cuts inside off the left, and she finds Kelly O'Hara, one of the veteran players, veteran for the U.S. Women's National Team, on the far post, and she heads it across and puts it in. You know, she'd only been with the team since basically this year after she got traded from Utah. And what a moment for her. Her first goal this season is the championship-winning goal, Eric.
Best time to score your first. It's like you break your duck and all of a sudden you're lifting a trophy just minutes later. That's how it's done.
I mean, what a moment to sit there and not only, you know, your first goal, but it's the one that wins it all. Big moment for her. And then just not only that, but I mean, again, not to make it all about one player, but Trinity Rodman really was fantastic in this game. And again, getting the assist on the winning goal, getting the pass that leads into the penalty, much deserved penalty at that as well. But got to give it to Bledsoe, the keeper, as well, because Doniak comes in, I think like 2 or 3 minutes to go, and she has a shot that literally could have gone into the left corner, and Bledsoe stops it point blank right there. Defensive duties there for the keeper.
Yeah, not just defensive duties. It was great positioning on that. That one, at that point, it really saved the match.
Where I think, you know, perhaps the Chicago Red Stars keeper kind of let him down a little bit on the penalty. Bledsoe was right there and totally deserved that big moment. I think she got the MVP, if I'm not mistaken, as well. So NWSL, with all the stuff they've gone through this season, with everything that Washington went through this season, ending the year on an 11-game unbeaten streak, or at least 7 games, that's a fortuitous thing for that team, and just what an awesome story for them to get it and get that victory and get the championship.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, kudos to them. And if you really think about it, not only is this a storybook ending to this season, but now imagine what you're going through and carrying into 2022. We went through all of that, came out champions. Now, hey, we've got this more level of stability. We've clearly got a whole bunch of talent. They can easily reload and run it back.
Yeah. For sure. That's going to be an interesting time as now, you know, they're going to end the season. You got two expansion drafts because you got two teams coming in next year. And hopefully you've got a less crap that you got to deal with, you know, as far as what the whole league had to go through this season with all the stuff with the Paul Riley and then Richie Burke as well that affected the Washington Spirit directly. They're still dealing with the ownership issue of wanting Baldwin out. So we'll see if that fixes itself in time of the offseason. We'll obviously be covering that as things go on here. Just wanted to, we needed to give NWSL their due here. Their season may have ended, but they got a lot going on. And again, things look bright, at least on the playing field. And that's what matters, really.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's where, yes, even with all the drama, in the end, comes down to the players, the product on the pitch, and this was a great, wound up being a very great game to end this.
Yeah, Eric, I mean, anything that you want to talk about from the game or anything else before we move along here?
I don't feel as bad losing my specific wager that I had mentioned before. I mean, with the way the Washington, they conducted themselves. And again, you went from having your first generation to start with Mallory. Now you have Robin out there. The team's going to be still in those great, capable hands with someone who's so young.
Yeah, let's get on to, I'm sure, here's the thing, by the time we're talking about it, you literally probably could have heard every other freaking pundit, especially in the European realm, discuss this already. But obviously, we always talk about our Manchester United moment. I've tried to do it at the end just to kind of give other things their due most of the time, but this is such a big story. We got to talk about it. And obviously, because it affects our team, Eric, and also just because it's something that we've consistently been talking about. Every time we have to talk about a game that involves Manchester United, we have to talk about the manager and now former manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, as he is out at Manchester United. Finally, the board pulls the trigger after a 4-1 drubbing at Watford.
Let me ask you a little something. Do you remember where you were or thereabouts September of 1989?
I was like 2 years old.
Yeah, I was about three myself. The reason why I bring up that month, that was the last time a Manchester United team had that sort of a loss to a newly promoted side. Think about it like this. The Premier League didn't even exist yet. It was the English First Division. Finally, they're like, we're not going to get the top four with this guy. He's done. He apologized to the traveling fans. Goodbye. Good night. Sweet Ole.
Sweet indeed, Eric. I think that kind of sums up everything. Maybe too sweet is honestly how this made me feel by the end. Let's talk about, I don't know if there's too much to talk about with the match itself, but let's talk about the match itself here for a brief time. The first half was awful. I mean, it's more of the same of what they've been doing, but it's crazy when, you know, David De Gea gets interviewed after the game and he tells you all these things that you're seeing right off the bat, right? Of they look listless.
Yep.
They don't know where they're going. Nobody seems to have an idea of let's play through here. Let's play through this person. There is no pressing at all. No one is coming up from the back to make sure that when they lose possession, they're not just getting absolutely caved in on the back end. No, just nothing. And then the worst part is you have that double penalty save by David De Gea. You would think that that would galvanize the team. They would start, let's go, let's go. We can beat Watford. They couldn't even freaking get a penalty in twice.
No.
And then, oh, nothing. You know, and then only that, they get scored on twice. Once by the same guy that couldn't hit it in a penalty, but you sure give him the space to strike it.
It was a terrible lack of discipline, not just with the disjointedness. Terrible, like everybody was saying, we don't know how to start games. Not prepared for the first half. You know whose job that is. Plus, this got to such a point. Encroachment on a penalty. Yes, Watford encroached too, but come on. At that point, you know the player's taking his run up and everything. You know better.
I'm not too on that. I mean, encroachment happens a lot.
No, and I get that it happens, but it's the best way I can say another symptom of everything that's going on. It's like, okay, you can at least do something right in these instances. That's fallen apart. What was there left?
No, I mean, it's the truth. It's the truth of just, yeah. So, I mean, for me, it's like ridiculous. You get 62% possession in this game. Again, this is the same problem with this team.
Mm-hmm.
We have possession. We don't know what to do with it. That yep. is so not Manchester United. It's absolutely ridiculous to me that you have a squad that has all of these talented players and you guys can't figure out how to make this work. It's incredible to me. And it comes from the manager, right? It's, well, I mean, look, the players are to blame here, but the manager sets them up to not have a plan. There's no plan.
Yes, you need a lot of talented players, which we have, at least for the time being. But the problem is, the manager sets up that collection of talented players to either succeed or fail. 62% possession, yet Watford got 20 shots.
Yeah, not just that, but it's incredible in your goalkeeper after he gets to be out the game. We don't know what to do with the ball. Professional players don't know what to do with the ball because your coach is not outlining this of what they're
pointing to do. Anytime you have another manager say, in training, we don't know what they're going to do, wait and see, in essence, everybody go home.
And that's the problem. It's all reactive. Yes. They have to go down 2-0 in order for them to wake up and go, oh, crap, we're losing. Oh man, we need to do something. And it's just like, are you kidding me? Why on earth are you having to wait until you have possession? You'd be the one boss in the game.
Exactly.
You know, it's
if you're going to keep possession, you should know, all right, these are where they're lining up in defense. This is where we're going to have open space. If we got to go tiki-taka, press a little bit out wide, something like that. Something so we can prolong this, wear them down, get our chances and score. There was nothing. Yeah. Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. I mean, like, it's incredible that you're talking about Wofford having won back-to-back home league games against Manchester United for the first time ever. Why would your freaking goalkeeper, who's done so much for you this year, making a double penalty save, not make you go out there and just be like, yeah, we're pumped, let's go. Like, really? All I saw was them passing it around the park, like, ah, no big deal. We're not down at all. It's no big deal. Like, come on. You know,
Sunday league match. It was a Sunday league match.
You gotta have more will within yourself to go out there and do this. And it just doesn't make any sense. And then, okay, sure, they fight back and get the one goal. Van de Beek gets put on at halftime. And he was the only player that really, I mean, aside from Ronaldo, who tried, I think, you know, he really went out there and tried again to score, and he laid it off greatly on that header that he lays off of Van der Beek right in front to score the goal. And then you're like, okay, cool. Here we go. You're gonna try to get out there. And they did sort of, you know, really give it a go and everything. Ronaldo tried to do too much by himself again of like just taking, I don't know why everything has to be first time with him. You don't have to go with the spectacular every time. Like, you can go a little bit forward and run up a little bit forward and then try to shoot. I don't understand with this whole going first time every time thing. When he gets the ball, he gets a pass to him. There's just so many players that seem very lost. Bruno, I don't think he even knows what he's supposed to be doing at this point. He's sitting there recovering balls way back there with the defenders. Harry Maguire is just absolutely bonkers at this point. In the first yellow, whatever, maybe shouldn't have happened because the player was offside at that point.
Right. But
the second yellow that he gets is absolutely ridiculous.
Stupid. Like,
69th minute, you lose the ball. You're Harry frickin' Maguire. You're not just anyone here. You're supposed to be, you know, England's part of England's premier back pairing. And you have to go take that guy down the way you did. And you know you're on a yellow. It's almost like as if you did it on purpose. And to me, this is the ultimate, like, thing with Solskjaer. It's not the reason why. It's just an ultimate telling of who he is,
mm-hmm.
and why it doesn't work and why this doesn't make sense. Oh, he's going out. High five. You got a red card. High five. Like, are you kidding me? I'd be sitting there yelling at him as he's going out the, like, dude, you just cost us a chance to come back in this game. Like, what is wrong with you? You know, it's a bonehead move. Yeah, it's something he wasn't thinking at the moment, but it's like, yeah. But that's the problem with him. It's too nice. It's too forgiving. He has those stares that he gives, but then when it's actually time to confront the player, he's just like,
nothing.
All right.
And even
all right,
then,
son, whatever, you know,
and all kinds of reports, you know, not sticking to certain things in training, not even confronting players for following the rules in training and such. So it's like,
no, I mean, to be fair, they actually played better when they had 10 men. It seemed like Wofford kind of laid off a little bit, thinking that, okay, well, we have the extra man, so we don't have to worry about stuff. We'll just kind of let them come to us and soak up pressure. And it almost kind of backfired on them. But then, of course, they get the 2 late goals, and thank you, ma'am, get whooped 4-1. But that's just kind of like that straw that breaks the camel's back of like, wow, you lost to Wofford 4-1. That's the reason. Just hours later, they're having that meeting, and finally at 5:30 in the morning, Joe Glazer makes the final decision of sacking Ole. To me, it's just okay, about time. Yeah. But it's just, I don't understand all this fanfare for him leaving, right? Of like, why are you having an interview with Man United TV? And then all he talks about is, well, I mean, oh, I hope I left the team in a better state. And
no, you didn't.
Well, I would say he did after the meal. Maybe he like kind of brought back some things as far as, you know, bringing some of the kids in and all that stuff. And like maybe having a more of a structure or whatnot. But I think the thing that made no sense to me is that the entire thing that he's talking about is like, oh, I made so many friends. Some of the old players that came back, oh, they were my friends. And then, the new people that came in, they were my friends. Like, what? Is this all this was to you? A time to make friends? And, oh, I got to have fun and I got to be the manager of Manchester United and not everybody could do that and whatever. It's just like, that's your takeaway from this entire thing. Wow. First of all, doing an interview anyway, like, wouldn't you be mad? Wouldn't you be upset that you just lost this job? Like,
no, and this is what it was. He knew. There's a lot of word coming out that's like, hey, you don't beat Watford, you're done.
Well, it's not just that he don't beat Watford. I think maybe he kind of was like, well, I got my opportunity.
I mean, even then, it's like, oh, with the extension, this and that. But as the season wore on, you started hearing words about point totals. You started hearing words about this window of games to save your job. Yeah. And you would have thought at the end of
it was the three games that they did the basic win, lose, draw, right? And then, okay, they let the Man City thing happen. Probably should have happened really after Man City. And when you get to the break, right?
Yep.
When Aston Villa and Norwich are bringing in their managers, Manchester United should have taken that time and secured someone and already had him in. And then you tell Michael Carrick, dude, okay, you're a caretaker for this amount of time. We're shoring up whoever it is that's going to come in and nothing, right? And then you let Ole come out of the international break, go to Watford and do that. And now you're forced to fire him. You don't have they don't have a plan. Nope. No, this is so dumb. This is Manchester United. Come on. Like, I'm not even saying this as a supporter of this team. I'm saying this as Manchester United are a huge football club. How in the hell do you not have a plan? How in the hell do you not have people that you're going after?
Look at who's owning this club. This is exactly why those fans stormed Old Trafford in so much of a level of dissatisfaction. Moments like this, times like this. This isn't the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is a Manchester United football club.
But you know what? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers won the freaking Super Bowl. So you can't say...
I'm not even saying it from that regard. I'm just saying, yes, things are run different. You can't just copy one manner of success in one sport and think, hey, as long as we do this, no, different realm.
Okay, fine. But what I'm saying is the team, the club... The management, the owners, you knew that Ole was going to be gone. The moment that five goals go past against Liverpool, that's it. You know that he's not the guy. You should have known he's not the guy when you lose the Europa League final. You should have known he's not the guy, during last season. So what's the point of continuing to have him there and then just, I don't understand. Like, you don't have a plan of, okay, well now you want to go after all these different coaches, right? Well, all these coaches are with other teams at the moment. We're going to go after Zidane. Zidane doesn't know English. So you have to have Zidane talk to people through a translator. Is that really the best option you have not saying Zidane isn't. He's won three Champions Leagues. He's won leagues around Madrid. His CV is long. That's the problem with Solskjaer, right? He didn't have any kind of a CV. He was an interim manager instead of staying as an interim manager. He gave him the job because he was legend of the club, whatever. It worked for a little bit.
It did.
But it went too long. And so now you're scrambling, right? Now they want Pochettino, right? Well, that might happen, but you have to hope the PSG doesn't win the championship.
Yeah. Because, the PSG, as the minute they're out of the Champions League, all right, you may have that as a possibility. And all the back and forth with Zidane, He's waiting for the French job. Well, Deschamps, what did France do? They just won the Nations League. They just stormed through and they qualified for the World Cup again. So that's not going to be available. So you're thinking, okay, maybe the end of the season. Something. But it's like, there's a lot still left on the table, basically.
Yeah, I mean, the idea is great. Let's go after, you know, Eric. Let's go after the Ajax manager, Erik ten Hag. Mm-hmm. He's done absolutely fantastic there as well. Mm-hmm. But these are situations where you gotta have to pretty much wait to the end of the season. You're not gonna be able to take them from their jobs now. Erik ten Hag actually got approached by Bayern Munich a couple of years ago in the same spot, and he said no. So he's probably not gonna say no now. Luis Enrique, who apparently Ronaldo wants him, he's like, he laughed. He said, "Is this April Fool's Day? Like, why am I gonna leave the Spain job when we just qualified for the World Cup?" What sense does that make, right? He made the joke of like, I have like 5,000 players at my disposal. I have more than what I could ever want. Why would I want to go to Manchester United? And, Brendan Rodgers is the one that's been around the Four Potocino, and he basically told everybody at the club that he's not going anywhere. So you know this, right? All these people that you want are not available now. So what do you have to do? Well, in most senses, you would say, okay, well, Mac McCarrick is going to take the team to the end, right, Eric?
Mm-hmm.
But not Manchester United. We're going to have an interim to an interim. Does that make sense?
No.
That was my reaction to you, right? Like, so instead of just letting Michael Carrick take it, I understand that the problem is, right, you have to make top four. Or you're not going to get Potocino or Zidane. Maybe Brendan Rodgers you might. But not those two guys. Not Erik ten Hag when he's been at Ajax and going to Champions and everything else. I don't think that he would want to just move when he's being sought after by so many other teams. He would just go to Manchester United when you don't have Champions.
And let's face it. I know it's still relatively early, about a third of the way through the season.
Yeah, that's the thing is this. You've got a lot of time to figure this out.
Yeah,
but you got to start winning at some point.
This is my point. A third of the way through the season, we're sitting in seventh. Is there an opportunity to make top four? Yes. But as you just said, the wins, the points, they have to start coming. If not thick and fast, relatively close. Because if you think you're having these issues right now, look at where you would be sitting. April, May, season's done. Then what? The caliber you could get?
I mean, considering how good the league has been, and then you still got Conte coming in with Spurs. You know, you got Arsenal getting better under Arteta. Yes, they got whooped by Liverpool, but looks like a lot of people are going to get whooped by Liverpool this season. West Ham is playing out of their minds right now. You know who the top three are, but this mixture underneath doesn't bode well for you. It's not a guarantee that fourth or fifth for even Europa League is, you know, viable.
Because lest we forget Thomas Tuchel and what he's still doing at Chelsea.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying, you know who your top three are.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying fourth, fifth with, like, let's say you have Manchester United and about five or six other teams with Brighton. What's going on with Brighton, with Graham Potter over there? Like, you have a lot of teams that are in that mix, and you can only lose so many times before you're completely out of that mix because those other teams are. You know, let's discuss some interim options here. Laurent Blanc is being thrown up again. He was going to be the interim before Solskjaer when they dropped Mourinho. Originally. Of course, he played with Manchester United, and he's over there in Qatar or Qatar, just like Xavi was with Al Rayyan right now. So you would think that he would leave Al Rayyan for that job, right? Okay. At least he has some experience with Marseille, PSG, and the France job. Goes so well with him at the France job, but fine. You know, maybe he just needs to find a spot that works for him. Rolf Rangnick, he's with Lokomotiv Moscow right now. But he's done this before where he's come in and done... He's kind of like a management position over there with Lokomotiv Moscow. So that's part of his thing is that he would want to be moved up to, like, director of football. Whoever's in that position right now, we know Darren Fletcher's technical director. Would you move one of them out to put him in, just to have him come in and do this job, because he has done it mm-hmm. with like RB Leipzig before, where he kind of saved their season. And even talk of, would you do another legend? Would you bring in Wayne Rooney, who's doing a job over there with Derby County right now? Would you really put yourself through that again? Because I think it's one thing, Michael Carrick, right, to tell him, hey, I'm sorry, man, regardless of what you do here, you're probably not going to keep the job. Man, you bring in a legend that played with Ronaldo and Wayne Rooney, and you tell him, hey, it doesn't matter if you get us to a Champions League place, it doesn't matter if you get us to a whatever, you're not going to keep the job. I mean, that's difficult,
and especially the difficulty of saying, no matter what happens, you're not permanent. Plus, even though he's cutting his teeth with Derby County, if you've looked at that club in the past couple of years, Rams are in shambles. All kinds of things.
You know, they mostly lost 21 points to frustration.
Yeah, mostly off the pitch, yes.
Yeah.
Completely agree, but even then, it's a lot that you gotta contend with. And yeah, that a little bit of adversity could help you with that coaching, but it's still a massive step up to United, even with all that.
Right, but I mean, like, how would that even, would Ronaldo be okay with Rangoni coaching him? You know, it's like, I don't know. I don't know how that would work. I mean, they're the same age, like, you know, and then, yeah, here comes another guy that's from that era of Sir Alex Ferguson, and he knows and all that stuff. But man, I don't know. I don't see that working out very well.
It wouldn't.
I mean, honestly, if you're going to pick out of one of those, then maybe Laurent Blanc would work. But again, like, this is what's so bad about this is, like, other than offering Pochettino a bunch of money, I don't think they're going to do, not at this stage, where they have no leverage, right? They have no leverage outside of waiting till this week and seeing if Manchester City go and blow out PSG, which I doubt, and then maybe, you know, they're not looking so good for the Champions League, which is their one competition they got to win. Because, like, you know, they're going to win Liga. They're like 11 points ahead right now. And
oh, yeah. That's why the ownership came in and very similar with Manchester City. It's like, okay, we're giving you all of this oil money. Go ahead, win Champions League. That's it.
But still, look, there's a lot of prospects, but the whole thing is, whether it's Michael Carrick, whether it's Blanc, whether it's somebody else, gotta get this team and pull them by the bootstraps and be like, listen, can't keep doing this. We're gonna have a plan. We're gonna have some kind of system of play, a pattern of play. That's the problem. We talk about Greg Berhalter and all the stuff with the Usman Bathy, but at least he has some kind of pattern of play, right?
Of course.
Like, at least he has an idea of what he wants them to do, and he can actually logically tell you when they make a mistake, when he gets something wrong. You know, the Jamaica game was the first time that he didn't get the tactics right at halftime. Like, with Solskjaer, his interview that he has at the end of this game, not the end of the game, at the end of the game and then later with Manchester United, he doesn't really have an answer for any of why this happens or why that happens, or he gives you the most basic answer. And that's not who you need at Manchester United as your coach, as your manager. Like, look at the top three who they have, and then look at you. And I think that tells you a lot of where you
exactly.
are.
Exactly.
It's frustrating and it's sad, you know, and it's just, well, this will obviously be a fluid story. We'll see what happens. As somebody that liked Michael Carrick as a player, I would love to see him be able to, you know, make a run with it. But I can kind of understand also why it happened now, because Ole's had a lot of luck in the Champions
mm-hmm.
and watch him go pull a rabbit out of the hat and get a win there. And then it's like, well, how would you sack him after that? And then you go to Chelsea and it's like, well, he's probably not going to win there. He's going to get shellacked again. But then we're like, well, we didn't expect to win at Chelsea, right? So we go through that whole circle again.
Yep.
So it's actually really good that this happened, because it would have been that whole circle again.
It's no longer doing just enough to keep your job another couple of weeks.
You got to do something. You got to do something. So, yeah, well, obviously I'm sorry, people that don't really want us to be talking about this every week, or this is not your favorite segment that we do. But unfortunately, this was happening. I think anybody that knows anything about this situation knew that this was going to happen one time or another. So who, like, just so we can, you know, have a, I guess, a prediction or somebody that we kind of, where we both see each other on this, who would you want to come in out of all these names that you're hearing to go take the job?
I personally made no bones about it. I know with the language barrier and everything, I'm heavily rooting for Zidane. The experience in the Champions League, the experience with Ronaldo, even though maybe you get one season tops, but someone who has been a talented player, has handled talented players, a lot of different egos and tough positions. It's like, if this is really where you want to be and having at the top, he's dealt with these top teams of pressure and expectation.
I mean, the only thing I don't like hearing is that apparently Zidane was not the most tactical mind when it comes to kind of like a Jurgen Klinsmann situation where he was, somebody else was handling the tactics and he was handling the other stuff.
Right.
I think in England, the language barrier is a big deal. Obviously, he has coached Ronaldo. He's coached Varane, same country with Pogba. So you have a little bit of an understanding there. And again, I don't have anything against Zidane at all. Just, I don't know. I think personally, out of anybody, I think Pochettino knows the league. I think he's always been kind of intrigued with United. I think he likes projects. He liked Spurs until they kicked him out. And he was going to return to Spurs again before he got the PSG job, was the rumors. So I would love to be able to see him, I think, work with United and get to be signed with him. If not, I'd love to see Erik ten Hag from Ajax, but I don't know that he would necessarily leave Ajax at the moment. But yeah, this is going to be a thing that we're going to keep talking about throughout until they figure this up. So, and we'll talk about it again on Tuesday because they are their Champions League match on Tuesday when we're going to be talking about the other Major League Soccer stuff. So we'll get to see how the team plays with Michael Carrick's first game in charge. But moving on from that here, we do have some other things to talk about before we get out of the show here. These are more international. Well, actually, one of them involves the Premier League, but it's more about the Premier League in the United States as far as what we're going to be watching. And for the next 6 years, it's going to stay the same. NBC is going to have the Premier League rights again. They paid $2.7 billion to keep them here. And I think it's also, to be fair on the Premier League here, they decided that they wanted to go with NBC, somebody that they knew, somebody that they know takes great care and really promoting the league. And that's a testament to the EPL, like actually caring about those fan fests that they do and everything else to bring the league some more notoriety. I may not be the biggest fan of the whole, is it on Peacock today? Is it on USA today? Is it on NBCSN that's going away at the end of the season kind of thing? I hope they don't bring back the sports gold thing because I don't like the whole having to pay to put them out for that.
I mean, that's got to be within the realm and not even at the end of the season.
I don't think so.
End of the calendar year. Come January, NBCSN is gone, so those matches will most likely defer to USA Network.
Yeah, definitely more to USA, but I think that hurts Peacock if you're going to go put it behind a paywall. So definitely probably see more stuff with Peacock at that point. They already have that live channel on that front there, too. And I'm happy that it stayed there. They did turn down a joint bid between CBS and ESPN to have the league, which that would have been interesting to have the league on both those streaming services and how ESPN, that already covers the league a lot on ESPN FC and everything, how they would have been able to treat that. But I think it also would have really kind of hurt the investment that they put in La Liga, because now you're deferring to the biggest league in the world, and now La Liga is going to seem kind of secondary. Whereas, like right now, La Liga kind of leads off all their coverage, and they really have to kind of pay attention to that because they invested in it. So they're having to, you know, do what they can to make people watch that. And like as cool as it would be to be on something that, like, you know, you pay your $10 or your $7, whatever, and you know those games are there on Paramount Plus or on ESPN Plus. you know, at least NBC knows how to do this. They have a great team around them as far as their presenters and everything else. I like the way that they do the matches. I would have hated to see ESPN once again have to use the same five or six dudes to kind of cover the matches. I love the fact that you get the world feed and you get to hear some of these different voices.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's good to see that NBC's keeping it.
Yeah, so. And I was really intrigued when I found out some of the other bidders. Not even so much CBS and ESPN, because in covering with other leagues and other sports, I know what they're getting, but Fox are making their foray.
Yeah,
Fox. Warner with HBO Max. I'm thinking, okay.
That would have been something else, right? To like see all these games on HBO Max now. Like,
yeah, because I mean, and I'm partially biased because I have HBO Max, you know, as right. part of my subscription, but it's like HBO, outside of boxing, hasn't really done sports since the 70s. So it's like, okay, if they're dipping their toe back into this now, how is it going to be done? What's going to be the game plan? It would have been fun to watch.
No, for sure. I don't know that it would have been fun to watch, because then they could have also decided to use that to up the price to $20 a month. And that's expensive, Eric. I mean.
Well, yeah. I get it would have been expensive if you have it without. But now, again, for someone like, if you already have a subscription to HBO through your cable provider, they bundle in HBO Max. But
right.
again, it's a cable provider.
But so many people
you're paying
don't
a
have
lot more. Right.
The whole reason why you're getting HBO Max is because you don't want the cable provider. I mean,
right.
You're one of the last few people that I'm not saying last. You're one of the few people that still have cable and you still have a pretty big cable package. I don't even have that. Like, I have the most limited cable that you can have, and then I have the Latino channels for my family that likes that stuff. But and I mean, it helps me because when we need to watch certain games, they're on Universal or on 2Day NA or whatever. So, like, that's fine, but it's just, I don't know that it would have been great for soccer fans, for football fans.
It would have been much tougher. Much tougher.
I mean, if you want to expand the league's growth, I don't think that HBO Max and Warner Media would have been the way to go. And I think that also helped NBC a lot. That they still use a large channel presence, as in being on TV, because CBS has kicked almost everything to Paramount Plus. ESPN does the same thing. You'll get the one La Liga game, the one Bundesliga game on TV or whatever, but everything else is on the streaming channel because of the NFL and college football and everything else. And it's like, if I'm the EPL, like, why do I want to go somewhere where I'm going to be second fiddle every time?
Exactly.
Yeah, this will get ESPN Plus a lot of subscriptions, Paramount Plus subscriptions, but you're not going to be the end-all, be-all there. You're going to be kind of whatever. NBC has Sunday Night Football, and that's a great, you know, plug and everything else, but then they don't have anything else, really. Golf and NASCAR, what? So, like, yeah. I mean, that's great for them that Premier League will now be their major, major sport now that they lost hockey. So, that I think that's even better for the Premier League to know CNBC from the Premier League, and then especially with Telemundo, right? They have the Spanish rights to the World Cup, so Premier League World Cup. I mean, that's great on the Spanish end too.
Oh yeah, a very well done deal. I'm not knocking it whatsoever. I thought it was in the end. I was like, okay, this is great. I don't have anything else. And then come Championship Sunday this year, yeah. You'll probably have that one out of the dozen or so on Peacock instead of NBCSN or whatever. But, hey, I'll know which channel still to turn to for whatever happens.
Exactly. You know it's always there. So, moving on from that great bit of news to some interesting news here. We, you know, Major League Soccer changed their playoff format to be like a one-game knockout round kind of thing. And now FIFA has done the same with their intercontinental playoffs, you know, because of COVID and all these, not wanting to travel to all these different countries, right? Depending on different protocols. Even here in the United States, we're starting to see some of the, you know, it's starting to go up a little bit again.
Because of the
fall season. And
it's going up. You're hearing all around Europe what's going on in Austria with their lockdowns and all different things going on. So
yeah, the less you could travel, the more it's better for FIFA to get all this stuff done without as many issues. So they have decided to just go to neutral locations to have the Intercontinental Playoffs. Now on Friday, Black Friday here in the United States, or the Friday after Thanksgiving or whatever, November 26th, you're going to have the actual draw. So you're going to know who's going to play who. So the next time we're talking about CONCACAF qualifying and who's going to win at fourth, Panama, whoever that team winds up being, will know that they're going to play whatever place team in either Asia, Oceania, or South America. So you're going to know that, are you going to wind up playing, say, Colombia if you're Panama? Or are you going to wind up playing could possibly be Japan, the way things are going.
Japan, Australia, China.
Well, Australia is being, I think it's too good. They're being too good right now. But Japan's kind of in that little bit of a...
Yeah, because I looked at the ahead of this Group B in Asia and quite a bit top three, bottom three, so...
Yeah, Saudi Arabia was playing a lot better than I think a lot of people thought they were going to be coming in. So that's kind of putting a little bit of a pickle in it for the two usual teams that qualify out of there. But still, and then South Korea is doing well on the other side, that Group A side, which you can actually watch those on Paramount Plus, by the way. Just thought if you're living in the United States, you have that. You can actually go check out Asia Qualifier. But still, yeah, that's, we'll know who's going to play each other, but they'll play each other on a neutral field instead of doing the whole, travel to Panama and then travel to Colombia or vice versa. It's just in one place, one game. That's it. You won't have the tie like, you know, Mexico had against New Zealand to go do. It's, you got to win it there. So it'll make it much more interesting when we get to that. And Asia that'll be tight for them. They'll be coming off their final playoff game.
Yeah. Because as it's currently scheduled, they don't have a fluid date, but they say May or June of 2022. That's right. When they're going to have the fifth place playoff. And then they've already earmarked June 13th and 14th. That's when the Intercontinental Playoffs will be. And then even as for the main draw, you're only going to know 30 of the teams because it will be before those two playoff games happen. So it's going to be a crazy few months leading up to that November 21st kickoff.
Yeah, certainly. And then they were going to take place in March, but they moved into June because of COVID. So June 13th and 14th, that's when we're going to be seeing these games happen. And also, Oceania is going to have to do sort of the similar thing for their entire World Cup qualifying, playing in Qatar itself because of they can't be going all to all these different countries due to COVID protocols. So,
well, and I mean, between COVID protocols, travel issues just in general, because of the state of Oceania as it is, they're like, hey, FIFA, we need your help. You can say, hey, if we're going to be able to be in Qatar in March, we'll figure out everything else from there.
Yeah, because Oceania is going to get, for the 2026 World Cup, they're going to get an automatic bid, and they still have the option to have another team qualify, through the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's good for them that they're going to be able to get their 11 member associations the chance to get their qualifying underway here.
Come on, you mailman. I'm counting on you.
Yep. The mailman will probably be representing again for like the fourth straight time. So we'll see how that goes for them. Let's see. Maybe they sneak in and get in. Maybe that happens. But, Eric's still waiting on what's going to happen with Orlando as Nashville will play Orlando in that one of the MLS playoff games on Tuesday. I'm rooting for you, Eric. I'm rooting for you.
I'm nervous. I'm seeing some of these other games and I'm nervous.
Yeah. Considering how some of those other games have gone already, I agree. I'm nervous for you on that front, Eric. It's, I'm going to hope for the best. I'm going to hope for the best on that. America's in, they're waiting to start the Liguilla as the repechaje happened. They happen on this weekend as well, if I'm not mistaken.
I actually saw what ended up being a crazy ending to the Puebla Chivas match, which
yeah.
Puebla scraped by in penalties after having to come back, which...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was nuts. It was nuts.
Yeah. Well, Chivas thought they were going to get through to the playoffs.
And they had it, 2-1, and then all of a sudden, just a total mess at the back. Puebla got that equalizer, and it was too late. And then was 11 out of 12 total shots made in penalty?
God. Santos beat Atletico San Luis as well for the repechaje. So, two of the big teams going through on that end, Santos. And so, you know. And as far as talk about crazy, crazy endings, Milan lost their first game of the season in Serie A 4-3 after being down 3-0. And they came back and lost. But, I mean, credit to them for pulling that off. Just crazy stuff here. Dortmund were able to win. So, keeping pace with Bayern Munich. They're only down 1 point to Bayern Munich right now. So, I'm happy with that. Valencia got a 0-0 that we talked about briefly. So, teams are going okay. Not necessarily the best, but they're doing okay. I should note that the other two Liga Repechaje matches were Pumas beat Toluca 2-1, and then Monterrey, who's done ridiculous. And if they didn't make it through the Repechaje, what an absolute travesty that would have been, because they have the best roster in all of Liga MX, and they have, you know, like the highest paid salaries and everything, but they were able to beat Cruz Azul and do their thing. Two penalties from Funes Mori, by the way. So, Monterrey goes on, and we'll see if they can complete the double, you know, perhaps, winning the Champions League and then maybe winning the league. But all right. That's going to be it. Like I said, we'll be back on Tuesday night really late because Seattle has to play freaking Real Salt Lake at 10:30 at night because of, you know, Pacific time zone and all that. We'll talk about all the Major League Soccer playoffs. We'll talk about the Manchester United, whether they win, lose, or draw against Villarreal. Michael Carrick's first game will be an interesting one there. And then we'll talk about whatever else has been going on since then. So we'll be back in a couple of days here. Until then, everybody, thank you for listening and joining us here. If you like what you heard, you know, you can always, or watch, you can hit that subscribe button. Ring the bell so when you get, you know, when we do, you know, have another show, it's there. Of course, you subscribe to the whole WTO network. You get everything we do. So you'll get the soccer show here. You'll get my video game show that I do with Mark. You'll get Eric's The Kickoff and Life is Like a Game show and the League to the Max show. And I don't know what other show Eric does. And then, of course, all the Mark Radley stuff in entertainment.
In development, so stay tuned.
Yeah, still in development, the other thing. And if we're available on wherever there are podcasts, pretty much just look up WTO Network or just look up Soccer the Max, you'll find us. Until then, we will see you later, everybody.